Hello, church, and welcome back to another Manna here for Thursday morning. My name is Jeff Glenn, and I'm a pastor here at Lighthouse, and it's my pleasure to be able to take you through the Word. And we've been in 1 John, and most recently we've seen, or actually we've been assured of our identity in Christ. Along with that, we've been warned of our enemy, the devil, and his activities as the accuser and the slanderer and the one who opposes God. But we see in verse 8 of chapter 3 that Jesus says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And so we are comforted that Jesus has come to destroy the works of the devil through his work on the cross. Now we're transitioning here in John's letter to the imperative to love. And this is from verses 10 through 24 of chapter 3. And it begs a question. Who's your daddy? "In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder his brother? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts, and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us." And so there's a lot to these closing verses of chapter 3, but John's really driving home the importance of love, and he's contrasting, again, as he's done throughout this letter, in pretty stark contrast between those who practice righteousness and those who do not practice righteousness. Obviously, he's stated many times that those who practice righteousness love their brother, love their brothers and sisters in the Lord. This word love, we may be familiar with this Greek word agape, and it's super important here to what John is saying, is that this is kind of the social, moral, undeserved, gracious, sacrificial, God-empowered love that the believers have for one another. And we see that contrasted in how that plays itself out in the culture or the world or for those who practice unrighteousness. Love in that context only offers affection if it's earned or if it's reciprocated, if there's something in it for them, and it's powered really by self-interest and only if it's fed by others. And we also see that from this passage here in verse 13, "Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you," that actually the world's love is hate. I mean, that's the reaction the world has for us, is hate. And then we see this, previous to that, this reference here to Cain and Abel. And we see from the story in Genesis chapter 4, I'll read from it real quick, because it doesn't give us much or as immediately clear indication as to why Cain killed Abel as we see here in 1 John. So from Genesis 4:2, "Then she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, But Cain was a tiller of the ground, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. So we see here that from the Genesis account, we see that it's not respected by God, Cain's offering, but Abel's was. But we see very clearly here in 1 John that Cain's works were wicked and his brother's works were righteous. And so this has to deal with the manner and type of sacrifice that Cain and Abel gave. And that's a study for another time. But really what we see here is rather than Cain taking the advice from God and doing what was good and acceptable in God's eyes, he decided that he would take his anger out and kill his brother. And so he obviously had no love of God. And that's the second main point that we see from our actions. And for those who do not practice righteousness, right, those whose father is the devil, that our treatment of our fellow man reveals the type of love that we have towards God. And so we see that here in the Cain and Abel story. Cain did not love God, and he took that out on his brother. And so a very stark and very dramatic illustration, but nonetheless one that tells us the type of love that we should have for our brother, for those who are of God. And so we continue in this chapter about the imperative to love and those contrasts, and we see in verse 16 our example, which is great because we need to be reminded about that, especially right after this reminding of this episode about Cain murdering his brother. But we know this love. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So this is Christ obviously laying down his life, exchanging our sinful unrighteousness for his righteousness, and that is the fuel. Rather than having other people fuel our love, we see that Jesus on the cross fuels our love. And we see a proper posture of the heart here, because we know in other places we've seen that the heart is desperate and it's wicked and it's unreliable. But for us to trust our heart, we need a heart change, right? So we see that this bit here about, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater. So we want to always position ourselves that it's God's work and it's God's power that we're using, and not something internal, not something from ourselves. And so the love of God should compel us to help those for those who have the ability to help. And so we see in verse 20 here, again, this bit about our heart being something that might condemn us, but God's love is greater than that. And so we see in verse 23, we come to this commandment that we have received in the name of Jesus Christ, is to love one another. And knowing that he who keeps Jesus' commandments abides in him. And then we see this word abide, which means to remain or wait or not change or endure. And I like the descriptor here, to endure, because for us there is a lot to endure. You know, our faith, you know, our love of God is under attack, right? The enemy hates the fact that Jesus has saved us, and he's going to do everything he can to pull us away from that love. And so we have that coming to us from culture. We have that coming to us from our own selfish, deceptive hearts. And so to endure those things and remain unchanged from the new creature that we become when we believed in Jesus is the goal, is enduring those things until Jesus returns. And we've been given the Spirit, as it says here in the last part of verse 24. Now by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Again, this empowering that we have been given, that's not self-generated, but it comes from God himself. And so it's another great example of the covenant that we enter into that is completely taken care of by God. And our response and our reception of that is our only part in that. And so here is to your enduring and abiding in Christ until he returns. And I hope you have a great week. So be blessed.